Welcome back to the programme. Well, earlier today, Poland's Prime Minister said peace is on the horizon in Ukraine. Donald Tusk was commenting after a call between several European leaders this morning to discuss the ongoing situation in Ukraine. Now, it comes the day after Russian President Vladimir Putin alleged that Kyiv had launched a drone attack on one of his residences, an allegation that Kyiv has vehemently denied. Moscow says it will now change its negotiating stance in relation to a Ukraine peace deal. We're joined on the line now by Jenny Mathers, senior lecturer in the Department of International Politics at Aberystwyth University. Thanks very much indeed for joining us, Dr. Mathers. Each side trading allegations over this drone attack. How likely are we to ever really know the truth of whether it did or didn't happen?
Well, I think it's interesting because an English language newspaper called the Moscow Times has actually contacted residents in the area where this was supposed to have happened. And none of them report hearing any drones, any explosions, having any air raid alerts given to them. There's no sort of evidence of anything strange going on in the area at the time that Putin claims that this drone attack happened. So I think we have, it's possible to prove a negative, but I think we don't really have any corroborating evidence whatsoever coming from Russia, apart from the claims of a few officials. So it does look pretty dicey, this claim.
Kyiv was certainly suggesting yesterday that Russia may be using this as perhaps a cover for some kind of assault on government buildings in the Ukrainian capital in the coming days. Is that likely or possible, do we think?
Well, the foreign minister of Russia, Sergei Lavrov, has already said when he was discussing this alleged drone attack that retaliatory strikes on Ukrainian targets would take place, and targets have already been identified, although he didn't say which ones they might be. So certainly it looks like a pretext for launching yet another attack on Ukraine, but also a pretext for scuppering any progress towards a peace deal and justifying Russia taking an even harder line in future negotiations than it already has. So I think, Russia certainly doesn't show any signs of being interested in really getting on with serious negotiations here.
Yes, that change of negotiating stance that Moscow has spoken of, what is that likely to involve?
Well, that's hard to say, really, because so far, Russia has not made any concessions whatsoever and has insisted on all of its original demands, that the Ukraine should make all the concessions. And so it's hard to know what else they're going to throw into the pot here. But certainly it indicates that they're not going to be softening their stance anytime soon.
Well, the BBC is today reporting that over the past 10 months, Russian losses in the war with Ukraine have been growing faster than at any time since the start of this conflict. Now, their analysis has confirmed the names of almost 160,000 people killed in fighting on Russia's side. It's a staggering number. How long can Russia continue to sustain those kind of losses?
Well, at the moment, Russia has been successful in recruiting enough soldiers to cover its losses, even at such a staggeringly high level. And, the BBC report acknowledges that it probably has not captured all of the losses simply because of the limitations of its methodologies. But the problem is, for Russia, the issue is how much longer can the state continue to pay these really inflated joining bonuses and salaries and benefits to the families? Because this is really the only reason now why anyone is joining the armed forces, because their families are in economic need, because they can't get good paying jobs elsewhere, and because they're really lured by these benefits. So, how long will the state be able to afford to do that? We just don't know. At the moment, the priority of the state is the war effort, and everything else takes second place. But certainly, I think, if Russia continues to suffer losses in its sort of oil and gas kind of energy receipts from sales, then, maybe that will cause some problems for him.
Well, there was a phone call this morning between several European leaders and the Canadian leader to discuss the ongoing situation in Ukraine. Now, Europe really has largely been on the sidelines of these latest talks involving the US, though. Is that likely to continue to be the situation?
Well, they have been on the sidelines of the talks, although it's worth pointing out that, you know, European pressure has been added to Ukrainian pressure on the Americans to change some of the most damaging terms of the peace deal that's being talked about. I think, but more importantly, as we move forward towards some kind of a more well-established or well-worked-out security guarantee for Ukraine, that's when the European contribution is going to be most important, because it's clear that the Americans are not willing to provide much, if anything, in the way of security guarantees. So it's really going to be left to the Europeans to provide, you know, any troops, to provide, you know, logistical support, and really to be the ones doing the bulk of the work when it comes to actually trying to deter or indeed counter any Russian invasion in the future.
Dr. Jenny Mathers, Senior Lecturer in International Politics at Aberystwyth University, many thanks for joining us this afternoon.